First of all, I want to remind you that we have book club again on Wednesday at 2 o'clock and again at 7, and this will be the last book club until the fall. There was a fellow who was about 77 years old. He was a very good man. He was widowed. He was a very charitable, very faithful, very prayerful man. And in prayer, he had a vision of St. Peter. And St. Peter said, because you've been so faithful, the Lord has told me that I can tell you you're going to have another 30 years to live. The fellow was amazed at this, and he was very grateful. And when Peter left, he went out, he got himself a facelift, he got himself a whole new wardrobe, got a brand new toupee, and bought himself a sports car. And when he drove out of the lot after buying the sports car, he drives for a very few minutes and gets hit by a truck and killed. When he goes up to St. Peter, he says, St. Peter, you said it had another 30 years, why? St. Peter says, sorry, I didn't recognize you. The point is, sometimes we don't recognize what we see. In the first reading, Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin. They've been told not to talk about Jesus. It says, you're making us responsible for this man's death. But of course, they were responsible. And then Peter and John recognized what they had to do. They knew that their responsibility was to obey God's law, to do what God commanded, even if it was against the law of man. They have to obey what God calls them to do. And that's just as we see today. In Washington State, there's a new law that's been signed that says priests are now required to report sexual abuse that they hear in confession. And priests cannot obey that law without disobeying a higher law, the law of God. In the second reading, in Revelation, John recognizes what's revealed to him, that Jesus, who is in the appearance of a lamb who was slain, is the same Jesus who lives forever and whom all creation must acknowledge and worship. Finally, we see the gospel. And one thing in common with many of the stories of Jesus appearing after the gospel is that he's not immediately recognized. Jesus is still the same person. He has the same body, but he's glorified. And he isn't recognized because I think people aren't ready to recognize him. Mary Magdalene thinks he's the gardener. The disciples on the road to Emmaus don't know it's him until he breaks the bread with them. We see that in the gospel today, too. They've gone out to fish. Peter and the other apostles have already seen the risen Lord. They know that he has been raised up. But they still don't have a full understanding of what they got to do next. So Peter says, he goes to what he's used to, let's go fishing. And after not catching anything all night, they see Jesus on the shore, but they don't recognize him. And he tells them to do something that's unreasonable. Cast your net on the other side. And on the right side of the boat was where they would have the rudder. And to cast on that side didn't make sense because it would follow the net and follow the rudder. But they do what he says to them, and they have a great catch. And they must remember another time when Jesus told them to do that, and John understands it is the Lord. Peter brings the net and sees breakfast is ready, and he and the apostles know that it's the Lord because they see what Jesus has done. They've seen the heart of Jesus that he has provided for them, a breakfast as he provided for them before. How joyful they must have been to see him again. And then we see that great exchange between Peter and Jesus. It's the undoing of Peter's threefold denial. Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter, his distress at being asked the third time, must understand a little bit of how Jesus felt when Peter denied him. And Jesus unbreaks Peter's heart, tells him again what he's to do. "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my flock." And then he says, "Follow me." And he tells us the same thing. We are called to follow Jesus each day. We are to ask Jesus to help us see him in the presence of in the person of people around us, even those people whom we have the hardest time to like, the hardest time to love because they don't seem lovable. But we have to ask God for the grace to respond to them with love anyhow, to actively engage in the works of mercy, charity, and forgiveness, to pray for and minister to them because they are God's children as we are, to share Christ's love with them, that when we see Christ face to face at the end of our lives, when he calls to us, we won't say to him, "Who are you?" but rather, "Lord, it's been you all the time."